If you're Neil Young or Joni Mitchell, you can pull out of Spotify. But what if you're an up-and-coming or less famous musician? We're talking about the latest controversy around the music streaming service, which began last month. Canadian-American rocker Neil Young demanded that Spotify remove his music from the platform. Young objected to COVID misinformation peddled by Joe Rogan, who reaches 11 million listeners per episode. Young said, "You can have Young or Rogan, but not both of us." When Spotify stuck with Rogan, Young split. Others followed, including Joni Mitchell, Crosby, Stills and Nash, and India Ari. Now, all those artists have huge followings and careers to fall back on. But what about musicians who don't? We're going to hear from two musicians with Boston roots about what they make of this. But first, let me introduce George Howard. He's a distinguished professor of music business management at Berklee College of Music in Boston. And Professor Howard, good to have you.
Great to be here. Thanks so much for talking about this.
Yeah, it's an important issue. And listeners, we want to hear from you. What do you make of the Spotify controversy? Has an artist you love left Spotify recently? Do you support people like Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, and others who left? And are you still using Spotify? And if that's the case, the question becomes, do consumers like you have some sort of responsibility to do something about all of this? You can give us a call, ask questions, make comments at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also tweet us at Radio Boston. And George, so let me start by demystifying Spotify with your help and explain a little bit how it works. You've said that for too long, Spotify has masqueraded as a music company. Can you explain that?
Sure. I'd say arguably they're kind of a wealth transfer company at best. Spotify is not the only one, right? I mean, since kind of the modernization of the music industry, we've seen tools and services, et cetera, that are created ostensibly for musicians, not being created by musicians or with musicians at the seat of the table. And that's kind of set the whole industry into the space that it's in now. Not saying it's a panacea just to say, okay, well, all businesses have to be started by musicians, but there is a kind of axiomatic, Dunning-Kruger thing that happens. If you think you can come from outside of some industry, particularly one that is as complex as the creation and monetization of art, and then you quickly grow to a point where you've got stakeholders and capital markets, et cetera, the art takes a back seat. Mm-hmm. And we can certainly, view the world through a pure Milton Friedman increased shareholder value kind of viewpoint. But I would argue that we're doing ourselves a great disservice. There's another way to look at things. Mm. But for too long now, we've been commoditizing art in such a way that a tremendous amount of value has been created, but very little of that has actually flow down to the actual creators. And I think that's really what's happening here.
So can you explain? Yeah. So on that point, I'd love it if you could explain to listeners how that works. I mean,
sure.
Briefly, how Spotify works, what is its business model, and how do artists actually get compensated? Give us a sort of Spotify 101, if you could.
Sure. Spotify has two revenue streams. One is a subscription model where people pay from between $5 if you're a college student to $15 a month if you're a family that gives you access to all the music created since the inception of time, essentially, all you can listen to for a monthly fee, or you can listen on a ad-supported version where you will periodically hear ads, and that's how they generate revenue. Up until their launch of podcasts, Spotify's single biggest expense, in other words, the cost to keep the wheels on the bus for them, was paying out royalties. Now, there are two different royalties that have to be paid out. One is to the songwriters themselves, right? And then there's another royalty that's paid to the performers or the labels. Spotify pays about four times the amount of royalties to the labels as they do to the songwriters. From a musician standpoint, if you are not acting as your own label, which not that many artists are, and certainly if you're signed to a major label or a larger independent label, the money comes into the labels and then gets fractionalized based on the contract that you signed. So, and one of the great ironies of this is that you can look at Spotify as kind of a legalized, centralized version of Napster. However, the money's all coming in, and the labels obviously fought against Napster, and now the labels are the prime beneficiary. I mean, they've never made more money because the money's coming into them for the most part, and then it never finds its way into the artist's hands. Hmm. If you're an artist that releases your own music, publishes your own music, then you're going to get more, but we don't really have a fair market value for what it is at this point, because it's so governed by so many different stakeholders.
I see. And it seems like whatever artists are getting, or a lot of artists are getting on Spotify, it doesn't sound like a lot. Make sense of this figure that I keep reading. 0.003 of $1. So that's mm-hmm. what, that's a third of a penny? Am I doing my math correctly?
For stream. Yeah. I wish it were as precise as that, right? Yeah. So as I said, there are two different royalties depending on what your relationship to the song is.
Right.
If you that what you're quoting there is the per stream royalty that's going to the songwriter, I believe. It's higher for the label.
I see.
The problem is, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I was following what you were saying. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so the problem is Spotify doesn't pay directly. So if I'm an artist and I get a million streams, they're not using what's known as a user or listener centric model, where they go, okay, you played a million streams, we're going to pay you whatever fractional per point of a penny to you. They don't. They do it through market share. So if you're an independent artist, you can get a whole lot of streams and not get paid for any of them, because the way they calculate fees is to the major labels based on market share. So if you have a higher market share, you're going to have a higher payout. And that's one of the problems too. And that's why if you look at just kind of the way this is structured, you can argue that the major labels and Spotify have a mutually codependent relationship. The major labels cannot afford to let Spotify go down, and Spotify needs the content from the major labels in order to keep the listeners. And that actually manifested in something known as the Music Modernization Act, which, among other things, made it very, very difficult for artists and people that feel that Spotify is not paying fairly and accurately to sue them. So there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes that the average consumer really shouldn't have to know about. Like, it's just crazy. It's just so opaque. I think as more of these details come out, then that kind of cognitive dissonance from fans of musicians go, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with this.
Right.
And that's really the crack in the armor that's happening now. It's not just about the payment, though. Obviously, there's something deeply wrong about that.
Interesting. Listeners, if you've got questions about how Spotify works, if you've been following the story about Neil Young versus Joe Rogan on Spotify, Neil Young pulling out of Spotify, give us a call, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also tweet us at Radio Boston. George Howard, stand by. I want to introduce a couple of musicians, Boston-based musicians. Dreon is a Boston-based singer-songwriter and Berklee College of Music alum. Good to have you, Dreon.
Nice to be here, Anthony. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Also want to introduce Damon Krukowski. He's a longtime member of the Boston music scene, a former member of the band Galaxy 500, and is currently half of the musical duo Damon and Naomi. Welcome to you, Damon. Good to have you.
Thank you. Nice to be here. Hello, George.
Hi, Damon. For clarity, the label that I used to run, Ryko Disc, had the great honor of releasing the Galaxy 500 box set. So I'm a massive fan of Damon, not only as an artist, but as a thinker and artist advocate as well.
All right. Interesting. Well, Damon, let me start with you then. Tell me your sort of reaction to this whole moment and discussion around Spotify as a musician. How do you assess what's going on?
Yeah, I really appreciated George's comment about Spotify not being a music business. I think that's exactly right. That's something that I think a lot of musicians have realized for some time, in part because they don't negotiate with us. They don't talk to us. We have no relationship with them. I've been in the industry a long time and have been party to a lot of contracts, including ones that George knows all about. And that they all have their pluses and minuses, but the thing is that we were always a party to it. And that's not true with streaming. Streaming is take it or leave it. We're in no more of a position than any consumer on the platform. Spotify won't talk to us. They won't negotiate with us. And that is tremendously frustrating once you realize how dependent we have all become on streaming. Streaming is now 83% of all revenue in the U.S. for recorded music, 83%. Mm. So it's not like we can just say, oh, well, we'll just do other things in the music industry, because it's taken over all our competitive music, all our other types of income streams that were there before. So we have to deal with streaming, and yet streaming doesn't deal with us. They talk to their investors, they talk to the three major label representatives that they negotiate with, they talk to their advertisers, they talk to their stockholders, they do not talk to musicians.
Interesting.
And that's been a tremendous frustration. So,
Damon, stand by a second, because before, there's a lot more to talk about, but I want to give folks a sense of who you are as an artist. So if it's okay, I want to play just a little bit of your music, okay? So here's Midnight by Damon and Naomi.
Washed by floods of feeling in a sooty rain.
All right. So, Damon, let me come back. And before, Andreon, I haven't forgotten about you. Stand by. But, Damon, what's missing in terms of the sort of available model to artists like you?
Well, what's really hard is just to make a living as a musician right now because of streaming. So the 0.003 that you were mentioning before is actually the payment to the label or to the artist. I have my own label, so I see the full payment from streaming, and that's all we get. To put that in perspective, it takes about 650,000 streams a month per band member to earn a $15 an hour minimum wage or living wage. 650,000 streams is actually doable for some bands, not all. My old band, Galaxy 500, gets a little bit more than that, actually. But then think of what it really is to be at the other end of that $15 an hour wage. There were three of us in Galaxy 500. We have to split that money three ways. Many bands, most bands, have a record label that they share, often about 50-50 the receipts with. Many have managers that take another percentage. In other words, it takes millions, if not tens of millions of streams a month to make a minimum wage on streaming.
Yep.
That's just not doable. It's not feasible. Even by Spotify's own public relations accounting, there are only, there's less than 50,000 artists in the world that are making $50,000 gross from them off this platform. Meanwhile, they're worth $37 billion on the stock market right now. So there's a gross inequality going on.
Imbalance there. Dreon, let me come to you. And before I do, I want to play a little bit of your music. So here's what are we going to? I Just Can't Take It off Dreon's 2020 album, I Am Life.
Can I tell you what's on my mind? Go ahead. I've been slipping through the cracks in time. No way. Trying to understand.
All right, Dreon, you got everybody in the control room dancing to that. Add to what Damon's been saying. What's your take on Spotify and how you are able to make a living with it or not?
I think that's exactly right. I'm not able to make a living off of it, actually. A lot of the industry and a lot of musicians do rely on touring and performing for that, because me as an independent artist and me as someone who doesn't have a large fan base and still trying to grow my Spotify fan base, that isn't a possibility to actually make any reasonable revenue. And so it's very, very difficult, and it's very, very hard because, as Damon said, there is no relationship between the artist and Spotify. Mm. And that makes it that much harder for us to be heard, for us to be listened to. And I think that that's what's the importance of this entire issue. It should open up a conversation, and I'm hoping that that's what it's going to lead to and get to.
Interesting. So, George Howard, let me bring you back into this. You made reference earlier in the conversation about the need for a new model. And listening to Dreon and Damon, that it certainly sounds like a case can be made for that. What would that new model look like that would somehow allow, I don't know, people like me to access music online, but give Dreon and Damon the money they deserve for creating this music?
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually very optimistic about what's going on now, and I don't want that to be kind of Pollyanna-ish. But when you reach an inflection point like this, where as I said, I think Joe Rogan is more a symptom of a greater problem than just being the problem in and of himself. So substitutes begin to emerge, and there are technologies out there, one of which I've been working in for almost a decade now around blockchain decentralization. You're hearing about it through things like NFTs. And again, it's not a panacea, but when you combine kind of...
Wait a minute, you just threw a whole bunch of terms at me that I have no idea what they mean. Blockchain, decentralization, something like that. What's that?
Sure. So you've probably heard about NFTs and artists taking their digital artifacts, whether they're songs or their artwork, and create kind of digital originals. And that is a byproduct of something known as blockchain technology. So it's too big of a topic to kind of go down now, but I hope you invite me back, because it really does. I did a project recently called The Song That Owns Itself, which is at stoi.org, STOI.org. And it allows for artists to really recalibrate the value of the players in their ecosystem. From my 30 years in the business, I know that the main driver of an artist having a successful career is not a label, it's not a publicist, it's not a publisher, it's a fan. And as my partners in crime here, my other guests, keep saying, Spotify kind of intermediates between the artists and their fans. So you can get a lot of streams on Spotify, but you have no direct connection to those fans. And a lot of the fans would like that. And you can look at services like Bandcamp that allow fans to pay whatever they want, whatever they feel morally good about. But there's a lot more than that that new technologies can begin to address, such as the fact that if I turn you on to Galaxy 500, and I've turned lots of people on to Galaxy 500, not just as a label president, but just as a fan of their work, I'm not really rewarded for that. But if Damon and Naomi knew that I was, and they were able to offer me some sort of incentive to do so, and it's not monetary, it's, I don't want money from Damon and Naomi. I actually want to give them money. But what I want in return is more stuff. I want a deeper relationship. And that's coming, right? You're seeing that in lots of other industries. And again, it makes me optimistic that people are feeling this cognitive dissonance, both on the artist side going, I need to be on Spotify, even though I don't like it. As a fan side, well, I want to listen to things, but I don't really like Joe Rogan. All that does is set up alternatives. When you marry that with new technology, and when you start giving artists a seat at the table, and you start being driven by purpose, not product, you can get somewhere.
Right. So reason for optimism. Dreon, we only have about a minute and Damon left, but do you share George Howard's optimism about how things might move in a better direction for you in the near future, Dreon?
I definitely agree. And I think that artists need a seat at the table. Songwriters need a seat at the table. And this situation really, I think, can open up that door. And with everything that's going on with technology, the metaverse and NFTs, I think that's where we're going in the music industry.
All right. Well, let's hope you're right. Damon, final thought for you from you in the last 10 seconds here.
Yeah, my optimism comes from I've been working together with a lot of younger musicians to form a new union called Union of Musicians and Allied Workers, unionofmusicians.org. And it's been very, very heartening that we see ourselves as labor. We're in a classic battle of labor and capital. And I think it will swing back around. Right. But the capital side of it is out of control. And that's, right, I think, what we're all witnessing.
Well, Damon Kukowski and Dreon, they're both Boston-based musicians. And George Howard, Distinguished Professor of Music Business Management at Berklee College of Music. Thank you. Thank you, all of you. And good luck.
Thank you very much.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.